struck my heart with conviction, saved me by grace. I bowed in that altar, and he made a change. I really believe when I stepped out, God done the work then. He knows when you surrender. He knows what's in your heart. I bless his name. It's come time for preaching tonight. Gonna ask Brother Mike Bagwell to come around. He's been preaching out of Isaiah chapter 50. God the Father's been a-talking, and he's been a-dealing with the fact that God the Son's taking up the conversation. And you listen to him gladly. Preach to us tonight. Love you, brother. Love you, preacher. Amen.
Isaiah 50. I want to read verses 4 through 9. Six verses tonight. That'll be our text. And at least I want to survey those verses. This is called a pericope. That's what the textbooks have started calling a text. I want to say this. I'm not interested in a preacher who doesn't have a text. I'm not interested in psychology. I'm not interested in philosophy. I'm interested in the Word of God.
Amen.
The word textus, you'll have to look it up when you get home. It's a Latin word. We get textile from it. Text. It means something woven. What in the world is that? Something woven. Well, you're wearing it. It means it's got strings going this away vertically, and this away horizontally, and somebody has arranged and put them together, and they have utility. They're versatile. God's Holy Ghost has woven into this text truth that is vertical and horizontal and will help our souls. A pericope of Scripture. Now, first thing I got to do in verses 4 through 9, if it was God the Father speaking in 1, 2, and 3, how do I know it's God the Son in this next section? And it's easy to figure it out. This one is extremely clear. Look at verse 6, and I've got to go back to 4, but I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I'm just going to make the statement. That's Jesus. That's God's Son. So our paragraph does deal with him. Dr. Wiersbe called it a soliloquy. And I thought, what is a soliloquy? That's when one person speaks to, it has individuality in it. He's talking. Here's Jesus' testimony. He is talking about his Father. He is telling us some things his Father has done. Look at verse number 4. Oh my goodness. I got to get that started. I forgot. Well, I didn't. First time this week I've seen the light, so my care. I didn't know it was on. I got my little timer. Verse 4. The Lord God. Hey, four times in this Jesus speech, four times, Lord God. That's the term. And it means Adonai Jehovah. Hear me. That can only be used of one only, nobody else, the Lord God Almighty. This is God the Father Jesus is talking of. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. Something the Father gave the Son. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Watch this. God wakens me. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. I dealt with that somewhat last night. Jesus just said, every morning I'm on earth, my Father wakes me. I think he woke him rather early, Mark 1:35. And we get alone and he speaks in my ear. He teaches me the wisdom that I need. I'm just going to say, not a bad idea for us to spend some time with God every morning and learn from his great lips of wisdom. Learn. I can only give you the thought. I'm not going to develop it. The word learn, lamed, L-A-M-E-D. Preacher, can I use your cane just a moment? Lamed. And what does lamed mean? Alan, you know, it's a Hebrew letter, lamed. And the letter becomes this word. The learned. It's the idea of teaching in Hebrew. What is lamed? So it's a letter in their alphabet. It means ox goad. It carries the idea of something sharp and something piercing. And the idea, Jesus says, my Father, he is God of all. I have come, I have emptied myself, and my Father knows how to take a holy ox goad. He knows how to take me to the classroom. He knows how to instruct me and teach me. And by the way, if you're saved and if you're growing, God's goad's got a hold of you a few times in your Christian life and in your Christian experience. Jesus is learning from his Father. Now, I want to go to the next verse. You can't help but wonder, or I do, what did Jesus learn? What is the Father teaching his darling son? I think probably verse 4 will give us an idea. I'm sorry, verse 5. The Lord God hath opened my ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Whatever Jesus learned, the natural man would be rebellious. Whatever he is being taught, something within humankind would want to turn back. And I'll tell you what the Father is telling the Son. No doubt in my mind, he is further and more fully revealing to Jesus. I'll quote it. It's in 1 John. I'll need an amen. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He is teaching his Son his mission, his goal. That's why Jesus came. I'm not denying his deity. But Jesus is, and he said, when my Father told me I'd die on the cross, when he told me I'd offer myself as a sacrificial lamb, I just said, Father, hope I get an amen, I am willing. What's that about a hole in your ear? He opened my ear. Jesus is saying to his Father, I will be your servant. Y'all know the verse. I'll be your servant not because I got to. I'll be your servant not out of obligation. I'll be your servant because I love you. And you can back me up to the doorpost and you can cut a hole. You can knock a hole in my ear. I'll serve you and I'll serve you because I love you. Jesus is learning all the suffering ahead. He said, I'll not be rebellious. I'll not be bitter. I'll do what he asked me to do. Wow, that is amazing. If Jesus was that much of a willing and obedient servant, I suggest we ought to be that also in our life, patterning ourselves after our dear Savior. I think that's at least part of verse 5. And what's Jesus getting ready for? What's it? A lot of fellows act like, well, the whole theology of the cross of Calvary will come into view tonight. You can't separate Jesus from the work Jesus came to do, redeeming lost mankind. Are y'all all right with that statement? My Father's been teaching me, get me up every morning. Oh my goodness, I won't be rebellious. I won't turn back. I'll volunteer. What will it involve? Third verse. Into our text, verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair, and I hid not my face from shame and spitting. If that's true, forget the if. I'm reading the Word of God. Since that's true, we ought to love our Savior with every fiber of our being tonight. Look at it. It's a tripartite verse. In fact, everything in this chapter is tripartite. Holy Ghost, and the Father, and the Son. Why? I gave my back to the smiters. You say, no, preacher. They arrested him and drug him to the whipping post. That's not what it says. I gave my back to the smiters. They didn't have enough soldiers in the Roman army to drag him to a whipping post were he not willing to go to that whipping post. I gave my back to the smiters. And the idea of that word smiting, to whip, it's the Roman flagellum, they call it. They literally tie a man up. They strip that man from the waist up. And they, with the Jews, 39 stripes. Because the law said they'd stop at 39. But the law won't. But it's not so with the Romans. I have read account after account when men were beaten, when men were flogged, they were disemboweled in the process. The rocks, the glass, and the end of those whip prongs would wrap around their body, rip their body open. Honestly, bad, distasteful. Their intestines fall out. Many a man did not survive. Why would my Jesus yield himself to, number one, in obedience to his Father's will, number two, to save riffraff like you and me? Hallelujah. Glory to you. I gave my back to the smiters. I'll say this, God the Father must be some more teacher. Whoa, he has instilled in his Son what he's expected to do, and he's going to obey, and he's going, verse 6. My cheeks I gave to them that plucked off my hair. Cheeks, hair. Somebody grabbed our Lord's beard and absolutely ripped it out. To a Jew, to mess with his beard, to deface his beard, is the ultimate humiliation. Don't know if you remember, in the reign of King David once, he had a battalion of men, and the enemy ripped out their beard. They were so ashamed they wouldn't come back to town. David said, stay there, your beard grows out. It is the ultimate. My Savior faced embarrassment. My Savior faced humiliation. My Savior's face is a bloodied mass of skin drooping loose. Why did he do it? Y'all gonna get tired of this. Why did he do it? Number one, to please his Father in heaven. Number two, because he loves sinners. Hallelujah. Same answer. I want to go just a little bit further right there. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I think what this meant, by the way, I hid not my face. Now, this, I don't know if you can say it this way. He said, I took it like a man. They spit on me. I didn't act like no coward. I didn't turn scaredy cat. I turned not away my face while they were spitting on me, while they were shaming me. In fact, the Bible says they buffeted him. They slapped him. Buffet means to hit with the fist. Then they slapped him with the palms of their hands. They're mocking our precious Savior, the Lord God Almighty. It seemed like there's a thought. My verse will trigger it. Oh, yeah. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Spitting in the face of the Savior. Let me tell you, and I'm sure Jesus thought of this. He knows the word supremely. In the Old Testament, if a man was lazy and refused to do his job, he'd have to take his shoe off and they'd spit in his face. You can read about it in the book of Ruth. You can read about it in the Mosaic Law. You say, preacher Bagwell, what do you mean? Spitting means you didn't do your job. Spitting means you're a failure. Spitting means you didn't accomplish what you came to do. Jesus said, they're spitting in my face, and the more they spit, the more they holler, the more they yell, I am determined, hope I get an amen, to do my job. I'm going to finish what I was sent down here to do. I'm going to lay down my lifeblood for the salvation of sinners. Bless his name. I just want to say this. Sure, I am proud of my Savior tonight. Hallelujah. Well, there's another verse here. Verse 7. Oh, man. I don't know, but what this is my favorite part of the chapter. Look at it. For the Lord God, hear that? Lord God, Adonai, last night. That word Lord means he's the boss. He's in control. He's got it all under hand. Jesus, the very second person of the Trinity, humbled himself. He put himself under the authority. For the Lord God will help me. The Lord God will help me. I've got to try to get this shoe back on if I can. The Lord God will help me. Hey, I want to show you something else. Go down to verse 9. That's as far as I even hope to get. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Woo! Amen. I just found three verses that start, the Lord God will help me, and end, the Lord God will help me. Guess who helped him, folks? It was his Father in heaven. Hallelujah. That's called inclusio. It is built that way for... Hey, Holy Ghost is not only God, he is some more writer. Would somebody say amen? This is beautiful, beautiful. The Lord God, verse 7, the Lord God will help me, therefore I shall not be confounded. Amen. Word there, confounded, confused. Confused. Said, I know they're going to beat me. I know I'm going to die. But said, God's going to help me. My Father's going to help me. And he said, I'll tell you what, when all that comes down, I won't be confused. I won't be messed up. I won't lose my sense of thought. I will not be confused. They say, when a man dies on the cross, and he was hanging there, am I right, around about 6 hours, from 9 in the morning till about 3, looks like that afternoon. They say after the beating and the crown of thorns and the pierced hands and feet, a man begins to dehydrate. And the blood loss, of course, contributes to extreme fatigue. And they said a man's tongue will swell and he won't be able to say much. He won't be able to talk. And they say a man will get so he can't breathe. Y'all have read, has to push up in order to get another breath. And they say a man's mind, it'll get right foggy because he's not getting enough oxygen. And they say the man will get so weak, he's just limp. Hey, you know, Jesus said, when I die on that cross, my Father's going to help me. And he said, I'll guarantee you, I'm not going to be confused. I'm not going to be confused. And may I remind you, for 6 hours, he knew everything he said. He spoke 7 times. Hey, I sort of like this one. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I sort of like this one. It's a thrill to me. He told that old thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. Hey, I really do like this one. It is finished. Sure sounds to me like God helped him on that cross. And then this. Say they'll be limp as a dish of ague. My Bible says, last thing Jesus did. Father, get this, with a loud voice. Don't sound like he's a bit confused to me. With a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Then he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. I got to say it again. I sure am proud of him tonight. Let's see, I don't even know. Whether the Lord God will help me, I'll not be confounded. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint. Whoa, what in the world does that mean? I have set my face like a flint. I don't want to be negative. Don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But I'm amazed at the philosophy that has developed in our days that said Jesus came to die on the cross, but the closer to Calvary he got, the more uneasy he became. There's some of them that said he nearly chickened out. Oh Lord, don't do this to me. Not my will, but thy will be done. I just want to make an announcement. Preacher, I'm going to stand here if that's all right with you. I just want to make an announcement. He didn't come anywhere near chickening out.
Amen.
He wasn't scared of dying. He came to die. That's his purpose for existence. And so, how does Isaiah put it under the Holy? He said, I set my face like a flint. That word flint, it's a rock. Adamant, hard. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. They said, they'll kill you up there. I'm going to Jerusalem. They hate you. I'm going to Jerusalem. They'll stone you. I'm going to Jerusalem. He set his face like a flint, and he didn't quit till he had paid, hallelujah, the sin debt on Calvary. Set my face like a flint. It wouldn't hurt some of us. I'm talking to all of you. It wouldn't hurt us to set our face like a flint, go back to where we're serving God, preach the word with gumption, with conviction, and with power. Hallelujah. He is worthy. There's something else in the verse. Where'd I lay my Bible? Thank you, son. When that light turns, you better tell me because I don't look at it too good. What verse am I in? Somebody, 7. Therefore, set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. I shall not be ashamed. Preacher, I looked up naturally the word to see how the Holy Ghost used it, and it's only once this way. But I'm right bad about that. If it's once, that's enough for me. I'm going with it. That word is translated delayed. Did you hear that, Scott? Delayed. He said, they're going to kill me. And I know what I'm going to suffer. But I made up my mind to set my face like a flint. I'm going up there to die for the sins of lost mankind. And he said, I just want you to know this, delayed. I ain't going to be delayed doing it neither.
Amen.
Y'all getting that? I will not be delayed doing it. He came to die, but he's going to die on God's timing. Hallelujah. I will not be delayed. God's program will not be frustrated. Hallelujah. All my hour is not yet come. My time is not yet come. But boy, he knew when his hour had come. In fact, he said, boy, aren't you glad God's got him a good timetable. Hallelujah. It's our Lord. Where am I? 8? Number 8. Boy, I ain't never been this close to my goal. 8 and 9's all I got to do. 8. He is near that justifieth me. He said, I'll be dying on that cross. But he said, see if you get it. Somebody is real close by. He is near that justifieth me. I want to deal with something. And it's what I did too much of the first 3 nights probably, but just for a second. Jesus hanging on that cross at one point, I believe when the sin of the world is poured out on him, he is forsaken by his Father. All right, I need a better amen than that. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes. No doubt about it. I believe the Father is too holy to look at sin, and His Son became the sin bearer. Does that sound all right to y'all theologically? But He just said, He's near me. On this car, He's near me. I have no doubt the Father turned away His head. I have no doubt the Father forsook the Son. But I'm telling you what, though God, I think God dealt the death blow. I won't get to His own Son. I don't believe Jerusalem killed Him. I don't believe the Pharisees killed Him. I don't believe Rome killed Him. I don't believe you can kill God. I believe the Father, gave the life of His only Son. He was bruised. He was smitten of God. But anyway, when the Father forsook Him, I got a feeling. Father can't look on Him. Father can't. But I believe God was in heaven saying, I can't tell Him, but I've never been more proud of Him than I am right now. I can't get it through to Him, but boy, my Son sure is doing right. I think He said, I can't let Him hear it, but hooray, hooray, hooray. My boy's on target. My boy's doing what a sinning to do. He learned well. Hallelujah to His good name. Yes, glory to God. I just got to say it again. I'm plumb proud of my Savior tonight. Oh, my. Oh, my. Bless His good. Oh, He is near. He is near who justifieth me. Jesus died on that cross so sinners could be forgiven and taken to heaven. See if I get it. And Jesus did it justly. I got to thinking this afternoon in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sin. God didn't say, here's how I'll get sinners into heaven. Y'all, I'll turn my head. You sneak in real quick. That wouldn't have been faithful and just. God didn't get a soft tart and say, oh, shucks. I'm just going to let it all. I'm just going to empty hell, bring them all up here, and we'll just be one big, happy, loving family. That wouldn't have been faithful and just. But God allowed His own Son to shed the most precious thing the world has ever known. His blood, His incorruptible blood on the cross of Calvary. And God saved us that way, and it is just. Hallelujah. God did it the right way. And I got to have a 30-second, I think they call it an aside or something. Yes, it was His real blood. Y'all didn't get it yet. It was His real blood. Not symbolically, not typologically. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. You're right, man of God. We're de-emphasizing the blood. They're taking it out of our hymn books. But I still like the fact I've been blood washed. Hallelujah. He is near that justify. Watch this. Who will contend with me? Amen. Who will contend? The Father has somehow taught the Son when He dies on the cross, there'll be an enemy nearby. Who will contend with me? Preacher? The verb is R-I-Y-B, reeb. In today's vernacular, who is going to oppose me? Better yet, who is going to sue me? Who is going to bring charges against me that I am not qualified to be the sin payment for the sins of the law? Who will contend with me? I just want to tell you who it is. Act like you didn't know. It's the devil. It's the devil going to contend with the Lord. And the light's yellow. While I won't get it in tonight, we'll have to look at it tomorrow night and introduce the Holy Ghost thought in this chapter also. Could I make an announcement right here? Oh, I want to tell them so bad I can taste it. Well, I don't know. It might ruin tomorrow night. I'm worried about it. I'm just going to tell you anyhow.
Some of you won't be back, and there'll be new ones here. The devil's going to sue you. The devil's going to come back with you. The devil's going. And Jesus said, tell me who that rascal is. Tell me who that enemy is. Tell me who that. And then Jesus says, devil, hope I get an amen, bring it on. You just take your best shot. You do everything you can against the darling lamb. Bring it on, big boy. And the devil brought it on, and he got whipped that day on the cross of Calvary. I need a songbook again, preacher. Y'all showed me something sitting back there a minute ago. I won't get over. Did I make an announcement? I'm redeemed. Amen. Happened to me years ago. Yes, sir. He saved me. Wasn't nothing simply emotional about God's grace in my life. I asked him to. I believe God Almighty. Here is the word. Here is the word. Pardon. God dropped in on me and saved my soul. Now. Here's the thought. That's what he did for me in the past. He redeemed me. But I'm jumping way ahead. This Jesus who died on the Calvary, passed the test, shed his blood, was buried and raised again. He is now in heaven at God the Father's right hand. Let me tell you what he's doing for us there. He ever liveth, I'll need some amens, to make intercession. Amen. We talked about it last night. The Greek verb to make intercession literally means, hope you get it, to drop in on. Amen. And so, I'm not real smart. It dawns on me slowly. I had the thought today, he dropped in on me once in the past when he pardoned me, when he saved me. But I do declare, I believe in room 311 up there today, I believe the Holy Ghost dropped in on me again. I believe he dropped in on me again. And I got a feeling he dropped in while I was talking about his word tonight. And it wouldn't surprise me when the choir gets to singing, he'll drop in again. When Brother Carr and them get to singing, he'll drop in again. When the preacher gets to preaching, boy, I'm glad I know the intercessor, bless. Hallelujah to his good name.